all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning. Ask Brother Israel if he leads the Lord in prayer this morning. Yes.
Lord Jesus, give us the attentive memory, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, to focus, Lord, on your word that is about to come forth, O Lord. Yes. And we pray for Brother Tim as he leads us, O Lord Jesus. Yes. That, Lord, you take him off the way, Lord Jesus, and we shall only hear from you, O Lord. Take away any starchiness and any coldness from us, O Lord Jesus, O God. Set our souls on fire for you, Lord Jesus, O Lord. We commit the services all around, Lord, unto your hands, Lord. And may it be to your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Bless you, Lord. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. So if you can bring up the slides there, brothers. And so those who were not here last time, I tried to summarize and reframe so that we could better understand. And I'm also using several slides to help solidify the word of God. So that when you see it, you hear it, then you retain it better. And we trust that it comes down to the heart. So just to let everybody know, the character of Christ, of course, is the topic we're continuing on. But we're focused on really this part right here. And this is the development of our character, the qualities of Christ in us, the stature of a perfect man, all those different things that God is doing in us while he's training us and getting us ready to fulfill the purpose that he's called us for. And so we know that there's a journey as a Christian. You know, you receive the Holy Ghost, you get the born-again experience, but that is, you're a babe in Christ, and then God is now able to mold you and shape you into the direction that he wants to shape you. And so there's a process for that, and it's all laid out in the scriptures and in the message of the hour. And so God is wanting us to be able to take this message and to see what he's telling us and instructing us, get the revelation of it, and then apply it to our lives, and then therefore grow as a Christian so that we can reach where he has called us to reach, the vision that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world that we would achieve. God's given us instructions to be able to do that. We just have to follow those instructions. And he's bringing us ultimately to that perfection or that mature state. And so if we are good students and good children, obedient children, then God will bring us on that path so that we can achieve what he had in his mind. So this is what we're going to focus on. Next slide here. So just again to emphasize, God is building his church is like one person into an individual, into himself. And so we know that Brother Branham types the church ages, the messengers, and then the stature of a perfect man, the virtues in that. And he says, he talks about it as a church, but it also can be applied as an individual. So the things that he says in the church ages apply to us as an individual also. And so we can therefore look at it not just as a church age, because we can But we need to look specifically at us as an individual, because he revealed that, because remember we talked about it last time, it was revealing of the Son in us, just like it was to Paul when the light shone on Saul and his heart and that seed was laying there. Then when that light struck that seed, then that was the beginning of the revealing of the Son that was in Paul. And so when that light struck your heart, when it struck that seed, that was the beginning of the revealing of the Son in you to become manifest. And so it starts to grow as a little sprout, but eventually it becomes to a mature plant, or you're a mature adult. And so he's looking for us to take on that full maturity, because when we take on that full maturity, then we are taking on or expressing Christ in his fullness in the measure that we stand here on earth. So just as Brother Branham, he had to fulfill his purpose and manifest Christ in his fullness when he close to the time that he was leaving this earth, the same thing for us as we get to the point of the purpose where God has called us to that vision that he had, and then we fully express Christ in the measure that he had called us to. Are we all together there? So remember that Brother Branham, in the beginning of his ministry in 1947, he was expressing a portion of that, but it was not the full revelation of his calling that God had called him to. Although he had heard that the calling, you know, in John, in the baptism, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, your message will forerun the second coming. He did not know exactly what that was. He did not know that he was Revelation 10:7 in that scripture. He did not know that he was Luke 17:30. He did not know that he was Luke Malachi 4, 5, and 6. But then he, as he began to mature, God gave him a revelation of that. But he had to overcome himself, as you remember that. So with his nervousness, the different parts of his complexes and different things, he had to overcome those things. Just like you and I have to overcome all the different complexes that we have, our idiosyncrasies, our tendencies in ourselves, we have to conquer those things. By the word of God, we are able to do that. And so it takes the revealing of the word of God to open up those things, to expose it, and then we are able to conquer it. Because the revelation exposes the weakness, the devil, of where he has covered something. And when it's exposed, then we can defeat the enemy. You understand? So when he exposes that part of our life, you know, like the discernment, he was exposing certain things in people's lives, memory in different areas. And when they were exposed and they were set free. And so God is setting you and I free from different things. You know, he set us free from denominational thinking. He set us free from all different kinds of things. And so he's constantly setting us free so that we can be overcomers. And so we take every piece of land and overcome that piece of land, and therefore come more and more to the area where we are fully overcomers and nothing can stop us by the grace of God. Next slide. So knowing who we are. So the new birth is Christ is a revelation, right? God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. Now what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions, the same things that he did, making the word manifest, making it real? Oh, if the church only knew its position. So we must know who we are. We must know our position. It will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. So that's what the message was to do, is to reveal that who you are. Amen. Now, next slide. So we know that we are talking about the different parts of stature, and there's all kinds of things in the message in the scriptures that bear all these things out, but this was just to show that where we're at right now that we're emphasizing is the foundation, which is faith, or the Ephesian church age, or Paul being the messenger. And so we're looking at the foundation right now. Next slide. So remember, and the gray area is what we've already covered, so I'm going to cover those fairly quickly. But remember this foundational, as he speaks about in the book of Revelations, that revelation is foundational. We must have revelation. We cannot learn by just normal education. We have to have revelation. And then we must get in the Spirit, and we must be born again. We must have the Holy Ghost. These are foundational, or in order to grow in that measure or the stature of a perfect man, is what I'm talking about. Next slide. And so these were all foundational, because we remember we're setting the foundation And there's different scriptures, and I just took excerpts, but there's plenty of them out there that he was trying. Remember, there was an original faith, right? So Jude talks about you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And we know that Malachi 4, 5, and 6 was to bring us back to that original faith. And so that original faith, that original Pentecostal faith, that is the foundation. And so there is where if we have that foundation right, then we can grow from there. Because if the foundation's wrong, then you're going to have a problem. But you must get the foundation right. Next slide. So we know that the Pentecost was a standard. They had the pure word of God. They had spirit manifest in diverse signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost, not organized by men, but led by the Holy Ghost. Next. Okay. And Paul, being the messenger of the first church age, remember when God does something from the beginning, that is the pattern for the rest. And so the way that he developed or he called Paul, that was a pattern for not only the messengers for every age, but also every minister. And so there are different qualities that Paul had, attributes that we must take note of. And he outlines these in the church age book. And so remember, Paul was free of all men, sold out to God, and gave forth the word only. And we talked about in Galatians, and we bared that out, that Paul was called neither by men or for men, but by Jesus Christ. Amen. And so remember that his stance was always, it does not matter what men say, but only what God says, and that's number one. Amen. Right? Even when he had to confront Peter, who was doing the wrong thing, he had to confront him. And he stuck with the word more than feelings, right? And so it says in Galatians that he had to withstand up to the face. And so that was the example. And so there are many times that we are in a quandary as human beings because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. And we don't want to hurt people's feelings. And we should try our best not to do that. But it always comes first and foremost. Christ is number one. The word is number one. And so all others fall number two and three, and God, and the prophet bears that out. God is always number one, then family, then others, and then self, right? And so he says, he manifested the Holy Ghost in power. And so we know that in Paul's ministry that the Holy Ghost manifested himself in power. In the book of Corinthians, it says, I came not to you in enticing words of man's wisdom, but I came to you in demonstration and a power of the Holy Ghost. So it was not by words, but it was by the demonstration, the actions of the Holy Ghost. Whether it was demonstrating the Holy Ghost acting in his own life and the attributes of Christ, but also the demonstration of the signs and wonders that were talked about in Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. And so those manifested in his life. And so they were an indication of God using him. And remember, it's always about the works and the deeds that tell what is inside. Remember, Jesus said, if you don't believe what I say, believe the works, for they are they which testify of who I am. Amen. He was absolutely true to the word. We know that, and we just talked about how he had to confront Peter in that situation. Ministry was in power of spirit, demonstrating the spoken and written word, and had the evident fruit of his God-given ministry. And so in the church age book, he mentions or he emphasizes these different areas. If you'll bear with me here, he says he had the evident fruit of his God-given ministry. 2 Corinthians 12:11, I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. 1 Corinthians 9:2, if I be not apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. Paul had been the means of bringing multitudes of the Gentile sheep. He fed them and cared for them until they brought forth religious fruit and were prepared to meet the Lord as a part of the Gentile bride, meaning that the fruit of his God-given ministry was the people, the manifestation of the fruit in their life. So we know that he He was a missionary. He was sent, and then he spoke the word of God, and people came to God, and then he began to work with them. He cared for them. He was a shepherd to them. He visited them. And he prayed for them in different things, and they eventually came to manifest that fruit of Christ. You know, Timothy has different ones and disciples that followed Paul, and they all began to manifest it. Remember, Paul, Brother Bram talked about how Paul was interested in getting them to the Holy Ghost. And so he talks about the contrast between Paul and Billy Graham. Billy Graham would have a crusade and 30,000 would come, and then he would come back a year later and he couldn't find 30 because they had not grabbed a hold of Christ. They had not had an experience. But Paul, he would make one convert, and then when he would come back, there would be maybe a few more, 10 more, etc. But they all received the Holy Ghost. So there, once you receive the Holy Ghost, that's the staying power. And then they're on their journey to manifest that fruit. And so when you look, and, you know, Brother Bram talks about a pastor, a God-called pastor. He says he will lead you through, right? And so he's to lead you through till you manifest that fruit. And so it's all part of the Word of God. Had the evident fruit of his God-given ministry, continually, prayerfully, mindful of the flock. And we know that in the scripture he says he, you know, day and night he prayed about you with tears and different things. And so Paul had the manifested perfect love by his evident actions, how he sacrificed his life, and how he cared for the sheep. Amen. Next. So in the foundational part, remember, whenever there's a move of God, that Satan is always there, no matter if it's detected or not. But he's always there, so they're always operating. So no matter how powerful things are going in the church, Satan is always there. And so remember, we're not to look at individuals, but spirits. Spirits are operating on people and moving and influencing people. And so remember that is, Brother Brandon preached this message several times of influence, because that is what is happening right now, is a battle of influence. The Holy Ghost is trying to influence your mind and your soul right now. And he's trying to influence the young people's minds and souls that are not converted yet. But at the same time, the devil is trying to influence them as well. And we know that the battleground is in the mind. And so there is a battleground for the influence of our of God's people, before they're converted or after they're converted, but is focusing on the mind. And remember, the mind is a womb to the spirit. And the spirit has all those areas of affection, memories, conscience, different things like that. So the battleground is actually in the spirit realm. Because even though your soul is converted, you can still have problems in your spirit. You can have the wrong thoughts. You can make the wrong actions. You can act inadvertently wrong, right? Or rationalize something wrong in the spirit realm, but your soul is converted. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so that is the area, the battleground, where God is working in, and it has to be conquered within us. Now, spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist, these are twins throughout the scriptures. And we know it's all down from the beginning, Genesis, all the way to Revelations of twins. Two trees in the garden, Abel and Cain, Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, Moses and Balaam, Jesus and Judas, true church and the false church. Notice that both are religious, but only one has the revelation, and that's the true church. Now, the Ephesian church, and this is a scripture, the Ephesian church identified those that called themselves apostles and found them liars, tried by the word. And so remember, the word identifies the spirit. And therefore, if we stick with the true word of God, we will be able to identify the spirits, because there is a pattern, brothers and sisters. So, and identify those and found them liars because he tried them by the word. Remember that the devil is always hiding around, whether he's hiding in the physical realm, the spiritual realm, he's hiding. And so remember that you know, we cannot as human beings figure out. It's very difficult. Doctors, they try, and they have a lot of medicine. They figure out many things, but there's some things that are very difficult for them to figure out. Sometimes that physical ailment is coming from the spiritual realm. And there's a problem in the spiritual realm that they have no idea of. So it takes the word of God that discerns the thoughts and intents of the hearts, that splits between the spirit and the soul, and then can identify those things and call them out and expose them. And when they're exposed, then people can be delivered. Because remember in the discernment line, remember when they were exposed, then people were delivered. You know, and God is working right now. And God is a real God that He's not just yesterday, He's today. I've seen these spirits identified in different meetings. You know, the supernatural takes place. Maybe you don't see it that often, but it is happening, brothers and sisters. And so I saw, like, in the summertime at one of the meetings that a sister, she was trying to get deliverance, and there she was possessed by devils. And so she was not controlled. We had the bunch of brothers had to, you know, physically bring her under control. She was hysterical, right? But she heard the word of God. But you see, she was a French-speaking person, but the brother spoke the word of God. He spoke it in English, but she heard it in French. And when she heard it, then she was free of that devil. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's real. We've got to yield ourselves to God. The more we yield ourselves, the more we'll be able to see these things, because God wants us to be free from these demons. Came with their own word. So these that call themselves apostles, and they were found liars because they were tried by the word, came with their own word, opinions and ideas. You know, we like to give our opinion and our ideas many times. You know, I think that's an American spirit in some ways. You know, Americans, am I offending anybody by saying this? Americans, they talk a lot. They just do. And maybe that's a cultural thing or something like that. So you ask anybody, you look at politicians, you know, whatever. They like to give their opinion always. And so, but our opinions don't have any place in the kingdom of God. And because they do not benefit anyone at all. In an eternal and a spiritual sense, only the word of God benefits. So when we have, if people are asking for help, don't go, because it may come in our ideas and our opinions. Go back to the word of God. And what does the word of God, because we know the word of God will fix the situation. But our opinions, they will not. In fact, they could lead them down the wrong road and to a lot of problems. And remember, outside of the word of God is death. So true church would not put up with sin in the church. So remember, we are not to tolerate sin. So remember, we're talking about the example here. They did not tolerate sin. And so remember, we are compassionate with people, and we are understanding about people, but sin, the true believer does not tolerate sin and wants it out of their midst. Put sin in the church. Sin, okay, and the words of the discerner. Satan tried to discredit the name of Jesus Christ and the word. Now, going back to Revelation chapter 2, looking at those scriptures that we just talked about, he said in verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So in the scripture, he says they had tried them, right? And so many times we have to test the spirits. You know, test the spirits, try them, does not mean interrogate, right? But remember, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And so we know that there's something wrong in the church, some funny feeling or whatever. We don't know exactly what it is. We've got to ask for God's help to identify what those are. Amen. And I believe as we pray earnestly and sincerely that God will enable, whether that's through us or somebody else, to enable the revealing of those spirits that are hidden. God could use a gift. God could use a dream. God could use some other gift to reveal what that is. Or sometimes they just become manifest in themselves. Remember the seeds when they are planted. He said, don't pluck up the tares with the actual wheat. He said, let them grow together. And so why? Because they need to show their colors. And in the end, they show their colors, and you know what they are, right? And so many times we're so quick to jump to conclusions and things, and we say this, or we need to do that, and maybe we're targeting an individual, but it's actually spirits. And so by the word of God, then those spirits will be identified. Remember in the message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, how we went through that, love one another and not to take sides and treating one another in a certain way and not talk bad about anybody, different things. And if we do those things, the spirits will identify themselves. And then God will eventually show and be able to get rid of those spirits. Remember, he even says in there that individual that shot with that poison can either be converted or will leave just by loving them.
Amen.
So now, but he says, try those spirits. And remember in 1 John chapter 4, he says, try the spirits, whether they are of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And so remember, God is trying to manifest himself in flesh. So the devil doesn't care if you're just hold on to Christ in your soul as long as you don't do anything. See, that's why the realm in the spirit is the battleground, because the spirit controls the body. Remember that in the greatest battle ever fought? If he can control the spirit realm, then it will control the body. So now you have the soul, the spirit, and the body all controlled by God. So he doesn't want to see that. So he's trying to hinder this other realm so that you can't manifest that word of God in your flesh. And so there he's going to always deny that power of God in the flesh. But that is exactly what God is trying to do in this day. Now, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and hath not fainted. There, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And so as the Ephesian church was moving forward, remember, they were hot. They were on fire for God, but something happened. They began to grow cold on God, and they lost their first love. And so Brother Brandon brings it out, not just love, but love of the Word of God. And so, remember, the Word of God is love.
Amen.
God is love. Word of God is God. You understand how they all tie together.
Amen.
So lost its first love of the Word of God. Now, let me bring something here, because, you know, many people say they love God. I love God, and they're worshiping and everything like that. But who is God? Christ is his word. And so if you reject the word of God or any part of it, then you're rejecting Christ. And so you may say you love God. Who is God? God is. Remember, the Catholic people, they say they love God, but what is their image of God? It's not the word. So they were losing a love for that word of God. And when you start to depart or get away from the love of the word of God, then that's when the enemy comes in. And so if you're losing a love to listen to the message of the hour or to read the scriptures and different things, watch what's happening in your life. Watch what's happening. Because when you start to lose that, then the spirit of the Antichrist comes in and starts to make you lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Now he says here in the message, talking about expanding on that scripture a little bit. To understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone. Okay, now history keeps reading. Okay, I'm sorry. This message is to the entire age, which lasted about 120 years, its message. Then is to all the generations in that span. Now history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. In the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of that original flame. Then God lights the fire again, and the process is repeated. It is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there is any truth to apostolic succession. As much as I would want my children to receive salvation by being brought up in my home, I cannot give it. But they must have their own experience. And their children must have their own experience. And so it is not by a natural. So even though somebody's born into a family that is a Christian, they have to see God on their own. Now, Brother Branham talks about influence. He says that Abraham Lincoln, he, by the influence that he received, helped him become what he was. He said a godly mother. He said the books that he read. You know, he said he only had the Bible and Fox's Book of Mormon or Pilgrim's Progress when he was growing up. So those things impacted his life and gave him a much greater chance to succeed spiritually. Over 90% greater chance, Brother Branham was saying. So it does matter the upbringing, the influence that you get at home. It helps,
right?
That's why we're to train up a child in the way they should go. But you cannot give them their experience. You cannot give them the Holy Ghost. You cannot give them the new birth. Now he says here, the fervent desire to please God, the passion to know his word, the cry for reaching out in the spirit, all begins to fade. Instead of that church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and become a bit formal. Now this, he's talking about the church age, but this happens in our life. So you have the fervent desire, you know, and God is doing something in your life, and you've got to watch it because you can cool off. So he's talking about us as individuals. How many have seen that in their own life? I've seen it in my life. You have to constantly press towards God because the spirits that are out there are trying to make you lukewarm. He says, that's what has happened back there to the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment to God was dying out, and the people weren't too careful about what God thought of them as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. So when you begin to think about more of what people think of you than God, then you know that that spirit is working on you. He says, when it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to do. And I see this with the young people. You know, they get on fire for God. Maybe they're at youth camp or something, and they come back, they're charged. But then, you know, these spirits are working. And so they begin to cool off, and then they begin to act not like Christians, if you understand what I mean, and being into things that are not very helpful for their spiritual life. And they're getting into things of the world and different influences and such. It's because they're beginning to get cooled off. And so we've got to continually charge. Amen. Remember, it's a battle of influence. Amen. And so, brothers and sisters, if you see another brother or sister or young person that's struggling, we've got to reach out our hands to them. It's not just for the pastor, the minister, the deacons to do that. It's all of our responsibility when we see somebody. Because like we talked about on Wednesday, we have a lot of people in the congregation. And it keeps growing. And so we can't just depend on a few people to handle that, right? Everybody's got to take their position. Everybody's got to shoulder the load. Everybody's got to take their part, right? You have a ministry. You have a part to play in the body of Christ, to express Christ, to show love, and to save those that are lost by letting Christ take control of you. Now he says this, they change their manner of dress, their attitudes, and their behavior. So he says these for a reason. So when you start to see them, their manner of dress begins to change. That's an indication. Their attitudes. You know about bad attitudes, don't you? So like when, you know, a humble, good attitude is like you talk to them and they're very attentive, they're respectful, and you talk about something, they're very helpful. They have that type of attitude. When they have a bad attitude, it's like you're bothering them. You know, what do you want? And they're more self-centered type of thing. And they don't want to do anything kind of thing. So when you see their attitude change and their behavior, You know, they were showing good conduct, godly Christian conduct, but when that begins to change, their language begins to change. Then it says they get lax. That is what Ephesus means, relaxed, drifting. He said, the cycle of revival and death has never failed. All you have to do is recall the last move of God in the spirit when men and women dressed like Christians, went to church, prayed all night. So he's talking about the fervency and the desire. So remember, they were on fire. They wanted God to move. So prayed all night, took to street corners. Do we pray all night? We're short on that, right? But he's talking about that as the example. Took to street corners and were ashamed of the manifestations of the Spirit. They left their old dead churches and worshipped in homes or old store buildings. They had reality. But it wasn't too long a time until they began to get enough money to build fine new churches. So money can be good because you can do things with it, but it can be bad because it can make you fall into many harmful temptations. You know, many a person, money has corrupted them, right? It says the love, it didn't say money is the root of all evil, it said the love of money. So when money becomes, it's not like, you know, people picture, oh, I love this money. No, it's like you think it as important. And so when you think it more important than the things of God, so for example, if you're working so much and trying to earn so much money, and then you miss God and you let your spirit, or you miss church and you let your spiritual life go down the tubes, where is your love at? It's your actions that prove, not what you say and not the visual. So he says here, they put a choir instead of singing unto God for themselves. They put gowns on the choir. So he's talking about that attribute. And when you start moving in that direction, you're moving in the wrong direction. They organized a movement and ran it by man. They soon began to read books that weren't fit to read. And so if there's books that we're reading or articles that are reading that are worldly and they're not getting us to think about God, we've got to think about getting rid of those things. They let down the bars and goats came in and took over. The cry of joy was gone. The freedom of the spirit was gone. Oh, they kept with the form, but the fire had died down. The blackness of ashes is all about all that is left. And so with that, they had a form. They went to church still. They came to church on Sunday and Wednesday, but the fire was gone. How many of you have been to a service when it was just a little bit, I'm not saying you have to yell all the time, but you can, the glow, the burningness in the sanctuary, it can be a different atmosphere when people are on fire. But when they're weighted down by the world and the problems and different things, or they haven't spent a lot of time in God, then the atmosphere is different, right? And so we've got to continue to press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so as Joshua was going into the land of Canaan, which represents the Holy Ghost, and remember it was fighting and wars, which is where we're at right now. But as he was going in there, they were having to cut and slash and different things. But remember, they had to fight for every piece of ground. They had to press. And even them, Joshua and his people, they rested for a little bit and they got relaxed. And then somebody had to tell them that, hey, are you going to take the rest of your land? And so we have good things happen in our life, but we've got to continue to press. Amen. You know, some people say, like, aren't you okay? You're satisfied? You're a little bit extreme. I want to do everything that God has told me to do and called me to do. And so I don't want to be satisfied with just a church life, even a good conduct life. And, you know, maybe the children are doing okay. That's not good enough. I've got to express Christ. All right, we are out of time. Let's stand. Remember, Satan tried to discredit the name of Jesus Christ. And end here. And so remember that name, that powerful name of Jesus Christ. Remember, there were different attributes of God. And, you know, I know Brother Marcel taught about this in Sunday school, about the names of Jehovah, the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. Are we familiar with those? And so remember, and Brother Marcel brought Psalms 23. And if you read Psalms 23, you can see all seven of those in that scripture. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Shalom, or Jehovah Shalom. Let's bring that scripture going by memory. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He heals. Jehovah Rapha, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Jehovah Sikinu, in righteousness. For his name's sake, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. His presence is with me, Jehovah Shema. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So God, Jehovah is our banner. He's our victory. And so he can sit us in the midst of our enemies and we'll have no fear, no trouble. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall fill all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so in the name of Jesus Christ are all those redemptive blessings. Amen. And that name was above every name. Amen. That's why the devil tried to put away that name, because there was power in that name. Amen. Remember, in the name of Jesus Christ, demons were cast out. Amen. Sick people were brought to healing. People that were lame jumped up. And we were baptized into the Holy Ghost by the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for thy word, O Lord. It is the word, O Father, that delivers, O Father.
Amen.
And Lord, it is the word that you have called us to.
Amen.
And give us a love for, O Lord Jesus. Help us to remain fervent in spirit and desire, O Lord, keeping the fire hot, O Lord Jesus. Staying away from the spirits, O Lord, that would make us cold, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Help us to encourage one another, exhort one another, to stay on the road, O Father, and going towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless the service, song, service, and preaching of the word, O Lord. We commit it all to you and your hands. In thy name, Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
We pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.